Thank you. God bless you for your giving this morning. We have 28 people that are going to be baptized this morning. And I know it's a joy to pass the mic to be a part of it and to baptize 10 youth. So we thank God for that. We thank God. We praise God for what God is doing in our church and in our lives, and we give glory to God. We believe God is moving by His Spirit all over. We believe God is drawing people to His house, not just this church, but churches around the nation, because there's a need. There's people seeing that there's a need for God. There's a need for truth. There's a need for the Word of God. Amen. So we thank God for that. We want to keep praying for the Spirit of God to move in our lives and for us to all be more committed and faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to just share for a few moments. This won't be as long as I am usually on a Sunday. And I like to tell people, did I not have that on? No wonder why I was like, okay. It was on, but it wasn't on my ear. Or was it? I don't know. Can we just rewind? Can we get an Allstate check? No, I'm just I want to take a few moments and just share some truths, some scriptures about water baptism. The power of symbols. There are certain events in life that dramatically change your life. Isn't that true? It could have been the day that you were married, the day that you had a child. Maybe it was a day that you received your degree. Or maybe you moved after you had lived in a house all your life, 30, 40, 50 years, and you moved. And there are those moments in life, in time, where you remember certain things. Spiritually, the most significant event in the life of a follower of Jesus is the day that they were born again. It's the day that they made a decision to follow Jesus. That is the most significant day of our life. Water baptism symbolizes that. Water baptism speaks of that. The scriptures, when it talks about a person who decides to follow Jesus and their life has changed, it speaks in such profound and dramatic terms regarding this event. Here are some of the terms biblically. It says that you have passed from death to life, that you were born again, that you became a new creation. The Bible says you were once not a people, but now when you have true biblical faith in Christ, now you are the people of God, a holy nation, God's own special people. Coming to faith in Christ, coming to true saving faith, is an event, is an experience that dramatically and powerfully changes our life for not just eternity, but for time, for right here, for right now. Can you say amen? That event, the event of a person, I remember the very day. Not everyone remembers the day when God touched their life and they began this glorious journey of following Christ. But I remember it was July 29th, 1981. So some of you doing the math, I won't tell you how old I was, but that was many years ago, 43 years ago. So it'll be 43. But you see, God wanted that experience to be immortalized. And what I mean by that, He chose a symbol. It could be a water baptism tank, or just a month ago, my wife and I, Brother Bernard, were in Liberia. We participated in a water baptism right in the ocean. The water wasn't as warm as this, but it was pretty good because we're in Africa, and it wasn't Rhode Island, I thank God. We wouldn't be doing water baptism. It would have been like a polar plunge. But God has chosen to immortalize what has transpired, what has happened in the life, in the heart of a person. Now, as believers, as followers of Christ, biblically speaking, there are two ordinances. What we mean by an ordinance is that it was ordained by Christ and that it was to be practiced by the church until Jesus comes. And those two events are water baptism and Holy Communion. Those two events are forever immortalized so that you and I would remember those days. We would remember over and over again what Jesus did for us. Especially in the day and age we live in where there is an overload of information. A lot of it's useless. What people had for dinner last night, how they cooked it, what cookbook they got it out of, who taught them how to do it. I mean, I'm sorry, no offense if you posted last night. I'm not referring to you. But a lot of information is just coming at us, really, that does not really make much of a difference. But this information, what we're going to speak about or what we're going to experience is critical. Now, I want you to understand that there's a difference between a sacrament and an ordinance. We believe in an ordinance. A sacrament in some religious circles means that when you partake or when you follow or do the event or partake, that grace is imparted. We believe an ordinance is what Christ ordained and what Christ has said, and then when we partake of it, it's a signifying that grace has already been imparted. In other words, going into the water does not save you. If you go in unrepentant, you just come out wet and unrepentant. If you go in with no decision to make a change, you just come out, you're just wet, that's all. So it's not really, it doesn't save you. It speaks of what has already taken place in the heart and the life. Water baptism is a physical act that speaks of an accomplished spiritual work. This is something very powerful, very symbolic of what it represents. It's an experience that you will remember for the rest of your life. Amen. And so should you. Remembering Jesus, remembering what he's done in your life. Now, experts in the field of academia, they tell us that within 1 hour, we forget 50% of what we heard. So that means when you go to lunch today, you've already forgotten half of what I said. It gets more depressing. In 24 hours, you'll forget 70%. So that means tomorrow by lunch, you will only remember 30%. After a week, you will remember 10%. You will forget 90% of what I said. So I can preach the same message, and 90% of it will be new to you if I preach the same message every Sunday. Now, let me tell you, as a public speaker, Pastor Mike, that's very depressing to know that just in an hour, 50% of what we said, people forget. 24 hours, 70%, in a week, 90%. But there's something. Can you put up that learning? There's a pyramid, some call it the cone of learning. The average student's retention, a lecture is a small percentage. If you read something, you could remember 10%. If there's an audio visual to it, 20%, a demonstration, 30, discussion, 50, practice, doing, 75. 90% if you do all of the above and then you teach others. So what's interesting about this is that Jesus told his disciples in what we call the Great Commission, that is the commission of every church. It's not outdated, it's not antiquated, it's not old-fashioned, it's biblical, it's what Jesus said. Any Bible-believing church, I don't care where it is in the world, in the country, should be doing this. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said this after he died, was buried and resurrected, and he was ascending into heaven. He said, go into all the world and teach and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. We here at Victory Church believe in teaching and preaching the Bible. We believe the Word of God is still relevant today. It's living, it's active, it's powerful, it's life-changing. And so think about that for a moment. Jesus said to preach and teach them all things that I've told you and to baptize them. So think of the logic, or think of the wisdom behind that God understanding our frame, God understanding our mind and how quickly we forget things. So there's that reinforcement that we see it, that we do it, that we speak a testimony, that we go through, and then we also teach others. So what is that doing? That is reinforcing in our minds and in our hearts what? Something that's truly, truly important. Something that is, there's no comparison to it. This is vital. This is critical. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You see, the importance of it is so, so critical in our lives. You know, you have to understand something this morning, that water baptism is something that illustrates the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Last Sunday, we celebrated Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. I want to read a couple of verses of scripture in Romans chapter 6. Turn to the person next to you, say, he's not going to be as long as usual. You know why? Because we're going to see a sermon. We're going to see the illustration of the sermon. Amen? Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Someone say amen, that's good.
Amen.
Colossians 2:12. We were buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Wow. You see, water baptism illustrates what happened to Jesus. He did it for us. He did it in our place. He did it on our behalf. He did it before God the Father. God the Father accepted it. How do we know God accepted the sacrifice of the cross? Because God raised Jesus from the dead. That proved to us that God accepted his sacrifice on our behalf. He knew no sin, but he became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. So baptism illustrates the death, burial, and resurrection. So when somebody gets in, let me see if the water's still warm. It is nice. When someone gets in this baptismal tank and they get in the water and we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they go down and come up, that is signifying their death to the old life. And when they come up out of the water, it signifies what? Coming up out of the grave like Jesus did. It signifies a resurrection. It illustrates Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It is also a statement of our faith that we are dying to the old life. Let's see, the old life is a life of sin. It's a life of selfishness. It's a life of the flesh. It's a life of what pleases us. But the reality of it is, what we think pleases us doesn't really please us. Ultimately, there is pleasure in sin for a season, but ultimately it brings guilt, condemnation, it brings heartache and pain, and sin has its own consequences. So we're only dying to that which we need to die to, amen? We're saying we die to it. Does it mean when we come up we're perfect? No. It means we made a decision to follow Jesus and we're reckoning ourselves dead to sin, that we don't have to live in sin anymore. Our old life is being buried. We're dying to self. And then we come up a new person, living a new life by the power of the Holy Spirit. So water baptism illustrates Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It also is a statement of our faith, and it also illustrates our new life as a Christian. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if any man, any woman is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is passed away, the new has come. And in some translation, I believe it bears true in the original language, the Greek of the New Testament, that the old passing away, the new is coming. I don't know about you, but God is still doing new things in my life. God is still doing new things in your life. The old is still passing away. Amen. Turn to the person next to you. Say, you ain't as holy as you look. You see, water baptism, hear me this morning. This is very critical. Water baptism does not make you a believer. It shows that you already are a believer. It is a public demonstration, a public confession of a personal encounter. It's an outward symbol of an inward reality. It's an outward, it's a symbol. It symbolizes that something has happened in the life of that person already in their heart, in their spirit, before God. Now, I have a wedding ring on my finger. Now, this wedding ring is an outward symbol of an inward commitment of my heart to my wife. It's a symbol. The commitment is what makes me married, not the ring. Hello? This is just a symbol of a commitment that I made to my wife back in August 31st, 1991. Don't you laugh. I got so many dates in my mind. So I'm preaching a sermon now. You think it's easy? August 31st, 1991. Thank God I have a ring to remind me. Amen. It's a remembrance. And it also is a sign to other women, stay away. Hello? Hello? When you're water baptism, you're telling the devil, stay away. It is no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. In the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness could come through works, then Christ died in vain. The commitment. You see, a commitment before we get into the water is what makes us saved. And lastly, water baptism is a public testimony. If you have made a decision to follow Jesus, you now publicly declare what God did inwardly. Water baptism is not a religious thing. Listen to me this morning. It's not a Catholic thing. It's not a Baptist thing. It's not an Assembly of God thing. It's not a Protestant thing. It's a biblical thing. It's a Bible thing. One last thought as I bring this to a close. 1 Timothy, I want to close with this. I want to talk to you just a couple more moments. How many of you will give me 5 minutes? Got about an hour. All those 5 minutes add up. 1 Timothy chapter 1, this is Paul the Apostle. He said this. These are his words. This is his testimony. He said, I thank God. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundantly. That faith, with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. What is that passage of scripture saying? Paul right here is being grateful because he remembered where he came from. Do you remember where you came from? Do you remember the grace of God that was at work in your life to get you where you are? I remember where God brought me from. But he also realized something. He realized that God was using his life as an example to others. Look what he said. Look what he said in verse 16. However, for this reason, I obtain mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. What was he saying? My life is a pattern. It's an example for others that if God could save me, he could save anyone. Why? Because Paul was a persecutor. He was a murderer. He not only killed bad people, that's bad enough, he killed good people. He persecuted the church. So he tried to do everything he could do to stomp out the church of Jesus Christ. So much so that Jesus appeared to him and said, Paul, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Imagine, he was doing everything against the Son of God. And what happened? He met Jesus. That's what his life was before, after. He writes almost half of the New Testament, becomes a first-rate theologian, starts many churches, goes on 3 missionary journeys that we see in the book of Acts. I mean, he carries the gospel to the ends of the earth, and he becomes a spokesman for God before kings and before rulers around the nation, around the world. This is Paul the Apostle. And why do I share that with you this morning? I share that with you because of what God did in his life, God is still doing today. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what you've done. God can save you. God can change you. God could do miracles in your life. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
And so this morning, I'm reminded of a young boy who didn't fully hear or understand what the pastor was saying about water baptism. And the pastor went the young boy went to the pastor and said, Pastor, I want to be advertised. He meant I want to be baptized. But, you know, that's a real good lesson right there. I want to be advertised. And water baptism is an advertisement, if you will, for Jesus. It's an advertisement to the world that I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. To those of you that are going to be baptized, I'm going to ask the singers or the musicians at least to come back. The musicians, we're going to just transition to our time of water baptism. Pastor Mike is going to help me and join in the joy of baptizing people and the young people, youth. What a joy, again, because of what it represents. This morning, my prayer for those that are baptized, my prayer is that they would experience what Jesus experienced when he was baptized. The Bible says that when Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water and the heavens were opened. And the Holy Spirit descended as like a dove, and there was a voice from heaven. God said of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." I pray, and I've been praying, that you would sense that in your life, that what you are doing, those baptismal candidates, is something that is an act of faith, and it's an act of obedience, and it's pleasing to the Father. Amen. That God is well pleased with you. And he would say, I'm well pleased with my daughter and my son this morning. So can we pray? Would you just lift your hands right now? I want to pray as we begin this baptismal time. Father, thank you for each and every one that is going to go walk through the waters of baptism. Thank you for each and every one, Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit would touch each one in a powerful way, that they would sense, they would know, they would experience an open heaven over their lives, meaning that there would be such glorious interaction between heaven and earth, and that the glory and the presence of God would rest upon them today, Father. God bless each and every one in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen.